The plain fact is that, far more than any other group of citizens in Australia, Aboriginal people have dedicated their land to environmental and biodiversity conservation. So far, under the Indigenous Protected Area Scheme and other arrangements, Aboriginal people have dedicated more than 30 million hectares of their own land to environmental and biodiversity conservation. This represents more than 25% of the National Reserve System, while Aboriginal people represent less than 3% of the population. Like Indigenous peoples elsewhere, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples of Australia are concerned to promote and maintain their active involvement in the pursuit of environmental security and sustainable economic livelihoods on their ancestral lands. There are various legal and practical reasons for the Australian Government to incorporate Indigenous customary interests into the broader Australian project of land, sea and resource conservation. Land and water subject to Indigenous ownership and governance constitutes a significant and substantial proportion, more than 20% of the Australian continent. Since the High Court's finding in the Mabo judgment and the codification of the Native Title Act in 1994, Native title rights to land, sea and resources are now recognised in Australia's legislative landscape. In 1999, some customary rights in fauna were also found to exist as a form of native title by the High Court of Australia. Furthermore, Indigenous ownership and input to management of land will increase. Despite the influence of the North American model on the development of its national parks, Australia has taken a lead role in the development of joint management agreements with Indigenous groups in a few national parks. Nevertheless, in jointly managed parks where Indigenous people maintain ownership and various degrees of control over their estates, tensions still arise between Western and Indigenous ways of practising land management. This is the case in the Kakadu and Uluru-Kata-Tjuta National Parks, which are jointly managed by lease agreements between traditional Aboriginal landowners and the federal government. The Indigenous Protected Area Program was established in 1996 as a part of the federal government's intention to establish a national reserve system and under pressure from Indigenous people to ensure that their wishes in relation to conservation were recognised. The aim of the National Reserve Strategy was to establish and manage a comprehensive, adequate and representative system of protected areas covering Australia's biological diversity. It aimed to address gaps in the kinds of ecosystems under protected area management and divided the continent into 85 regions under a process called the Interim Biogeographic Regionalisation of Australia, based on factors associated with climate, lithology, geology, landforms and vegetation. This scheme provides the bioregional planning framework for developing the National Reserve System and is used to inform future land acquisitions. The usual method of adding to the nation's conservation estate is through the government purchase of land for dedication as parks and reserves. However, as this planning framework was being drawn up, government officials noticed that, in some instances, Aboriginal people owned whole bioregions. Moreover, the recently enacted Native Title Law and the Future Act regime in the Native Title Act were new and challenging issues that would impinge upon the government's appropriation of land for the National Reserve System. As well, the Indigenous Land Corporation, a statutory body set up to meet the needs of Indigenous groups unlikely to achieve success with native title claims, was likely to increase the size of the Indigenous estate through sizeable land purchases. At the same time, Indigenous landholders aspired to re-establish their land management traditions and cooperate with government conservation agencies and scientists to achieve these aspirations. At the same time, Indigenous landholders aspired to re-establish their land management traditions and cooperate with government conservation agencies and scientists to achieve these aspirations. They had initiated some projects and were planning more. These initiatives were complemented at the international level by a new system of protected area categories declared by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, which substantially recognised the rights and interests of Indigenous people to own, manage and sustainably use areas of land and sea of high conservation value. These new categories allowed for the establishment of protected areas that linked land and associated cultural values managed through legal or other effective means. This created possibilities to enable Indigenous landowners to manage protected areas on parity with the mainstream protected area estate. These combined initiatives resulted in the Federal Conservation Agency conducting a consultation process with Indigenous organisations and state conservation agencies to discuss the establishment of what would become the Indigenous Protected Area Program. Before the program commenced in 1996, however, Indigenous groups and their representative bodies came together at two national workshops and expressed interest in the IPA, or Indigenous Protected Area, idea as it could be applied to land owned by Indigenous peoples, and made it clear that their consent was dependent on a number of conditions. That there be no loss of control over land by Indigenous people. There was concern that government would try to take over the management of IPA land. That landowners would make the decisions and the plan of management on their own terms. That the role of government would remain one of a good neighbour, providing advice and technical support on a needs basis on matters relating to issues such as weeds, feral animal management, and tourism infrastructure. That the commitment by government for the IPA program would be long-term. That the government would address, as an issue of equity, Aboriginal involvement in protected area management for those groups that had no land base as a result of dispossession. Following these negotiations, the federal government proceeded with the establishment of the program with two components. First, the development and declaration of Indigenous protected areas on Indigenous-owned land, where landowners manage the land as independent bodies. And second, a program to assist and support Indigenous people to negotiate with state agencies land management roles in existing government-owned national parks and reserves through some type of co-management arrangement. The program began in 1996 with an undertaking to develop 12 pilot projects in diverse locations, including high-density settled areas and remote areas. The first declared IPA was Nunta Warana near the Flinders Ranges in South Australia in August 1998. By 2005, a further 18 Indigenous protected areas had been declared. 11 others had been funded to purchase co-management arrangements in a government-owned protected area, and 14 more groups received interim funding to investigate the possibility of establishing more such areas. Since then, the scheme has expanded considerably. There are now 51 declared Indigenous protected areas in Australia, covering, as I said, 30 million hectares and making up 25% of the national reserve system. In addition, there are 40 consultation projects across Australia, and there are plans to expand the IPA area by 40% over the next 5 years. Each Indigenous protected area has a plan of management, is declared under one or more IUCN categories, that is Indigenous Union of Conservation Nature categories, undergoes a process of public declaration, and is entirely managed by Indigenous landowners. Indigenous protected areas such as Nunta Warana in South Australia and Dean Maar in Southwest Victoria, once denuded farm and pastoral lands, are now significantly regenerated, prompting the return of a diversity of native species of flora and fauna. Indigenous protected area agreements are voluntary and are made between the Policy and Coordination section of the Federal Department of Sustainability and Indigenous communities, land councils, and other Indigenous bodies. The security and viability of the scheme lies in the establishment of long-term land use agreements, offering financial support from the government. These take the form of contractual one-year financial assistance agreements. With training and assistance, the Indigenous Protected Area programs have had the effect of empowering communities and providing significant environmental, economic, social, and cultural benefits. Land management activities range from tourism management and visitor interpretive services to weed and feral animal management and land rehabilitation. Indigenous landowners participating in the program have also begun entering conservation agreements with state conservation agencies, which provide them with additional technical advice, training capacity, and access to powers relating to permits and law enforcement on their land. They are also building relationships with other state natural resource management agencies and non-government organisations, establishing partnerships and participating in joint projects and other activities that attract additional funding and expand the capacities of landowners to pursue their land management objectives. In some cases, Indigenous groups are creating arrangements where other bodies, such as mining and tourism companies with interests in the region, contribute funds to enable the management of Indigenous protected areas and surrounding Indigenous lands. There are several extraordinary developments in Aboriginal participation in the green economy that have resulted from innovative thinking in the Aboriginal world about sustainable development and preserving the environments in which Aboriginal society has survived for more than 50,000 years. Carbon farming, in particular, is popular with Aboriginal people.